Hi, I'm Darren Wright.
And I'm Tim Beadle.
Welcome to Disciple Making.
Welcome, friends, back to another edition of Disciple Making. I'm Tim Beadle with my friend Darren Ride, and we've just off mic been talking about the busyness of life, and we thought we would just extend that now live in terms of trying to live on mission or fitting mission into a busy lifestyle. It seems that a lot of people these days just find it really difficult to realign life, as it were, to be on mission with Jesus. So what's been your experience, Darren?
Oh, yeah. You know, life is busy. It's funny, with all of the time-saving stuff we have today, and even more now with AI, it's saving me so much time, but it's keeping me busier, you know? And it seems like every convenience adds a layer of busyness. And so it's a common thing that comes up in trainings I've taken from other places. They address this issue of life and mission and that kind of thing. It's come up in our group. It's kind of come up, I think, as we've talked about different aspects of this, Tim. So today we're just going to, I think, grab the issue by the horns a bit and see, okay, how do we live on mission in the midst of life, despite life? There's obviously stages of life we'll talk about a bit. So that's, in a way, the problem, that life is busy, and yet we're called to live on mission. And how do we integrate the two, and what are the actual challenges? What are the solutions to that? Does that sound like a good path?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you reflect on the life of Jesus and the disciples, dusty pathways with their sandals going here and there, walking here, it seems like it's a totally different lifestyle experience for us with, as you said, AI and all the other technological digital pressures on us. I remember the old daytimer era where you tried to live your life with a daytimer. Yeah. But now it's a different scenario. So what are some of the foundational principles that you found in terms of living on mission to the extent that you're not trying to fit mission into your life?
Huh. Yeah, well, foundational. Well, that's really, when you say foundational, it makes me roll back a little bit here. And foundational, let's start, Tim. We've talked about this a lot, but I just think it bears mentioning briefly, is that, you know, what is the mission?
Yeah.
Let's understand that, you know, because, you know, there's people who are busy with, you know, they get to church and maybe they get to a small group, but that doesn't necessarily imply a life of mission, right? And so we can actually fill up our marginal time with non-missional Christian stuff. And so that's that. So we need to clarify what the mission is. The mission is being a disciple who makes disciples. It's about following Jesus in day-to-day life. So I think that's a block, maybe a cornerstone foundational issue. Yeah. And then another issue that foundational that comes up, Tim, and it comes out in trainings. And I think, you know, Cesar Kalinowski in his Everyday Disciple training talks really well about integrating, talks about the natural rhythms of your life and integrating that into mission, that you're already eating. Well, why not eat with people you're working with? You know, you're already doing leisure. And, you know, when I teach on evangelism, why not harness your leisure for the purposes of relationship building outreach? So it's really that, not adding more to your life, but taking what you're already doing and sometimes just looking at it differently and then tweaking what you do a bit, which makes it actually living on mission. Those are some big foundational ideas, I think.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, it isn't that you're doing a lot of different things, but you're doing the same things differently through focusing on life through the lens of mission. And it is a mission that God's called us to. That's the great commission. Mm. And it isn't an add-on. When Jesus sort of looked and proclaimed this upon his disciples, this was to be the primary pulse of their life and livelihood and lifestyle as well. In terms of just when you look at the teaching of Scripture, a life of mission obviously has momentum in a certain direction. And so I think if we step back and just take a look at our lives over the last 6 months, are we just going here to there and responding, or in reactive living, or is there a proactive sort of pulse that always brings us back to the center of being on mission with Jesus, led by his Holy Spirit? Or is it something we just forget about for a few weeks and then say, oh, yeah, I better do this again. Something's coming up and I've got to give a report. And I think that, that's the foundational thing for me, that during life, I just continually think, well, it comes down to I start thinking about people, the people that God has placed in my life, people that I have pledged to pray for, people whose life circumstances cross mine regularly. And so it isn't like I'm starting off fresh every day of the week. There's already a backstory and trajectory to my life in terms of the people, and I don't know who I might meet from every day, but there are people in whose lives I've made a major investment on behalf of the gospel and the mission of God, and that's all part of it. So that's one of the foundational things for me.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And you alluded there to praying for people, and that would be for me another foundation. You know, in all of our teaching, we talk about praying and paying attention, how, you know, evangelistically and certainly spilling into the larger disciple-making move, that intercession is key. And I find that for me, it's impossible to pray for someone something without it, you just being more alert to it through the day and the week. Exactly. So if I'm actually praying for the people I'm working with, in our group here, we set aside Wednesdays as fasting and prayer. People can send in prayer requests, and we can send in prayer requests anytime, but Wednesday, we kind of hit it hard. You know, people send in the prayer requests for the tough stuff. And, you know, when you do that, it's hard not to care for those people. It's hard not to follow up with a phone call sometimes, you know, and it just, it makes it a part of your life. And for me, that praying, it's the one thing, if I pray, it tends to ripple out from there. And so for me, I guess that would be another one of those still bottom level foundation, that intercession about people, for people, those who are not yet believers, those we're working with in disciple-making relationship. To me, that really, at that point, you're already accomplishing something. You know, you're already moving down the path. But those are big foundational issues for sure.
Yeah, and I think the fact in Scripture, it says that God is going to give us opportunities. Not only, you know, in Ephesians 2:10 about that he's planned good works in advance for us to do, but we're implored to make the most of every opportunity, as you know, as the days are evil and we see the day approaching of Christ's return, is that there's always something during the day in which we can stoke, you know, the fan into flame, or not only our love for God through people, but make the most of the opportunities that will come across our pathway. And I think the worst thing, like the sin of omission, is at the end of the day, so, you know, I missed some opportunities there because I was too busy with my own stuff, and I didn't leave enough margin. When it comes to margin, building margin into life, what's been your experience with that, Darren?
Well, yeah, that's been a lifelong learning, and it's something that we've learned a lot about as we've, you know, over a decade ago, we entered transitional ministry where we were, you know, bouncing around, living in different places for 18 months to 2 years. We downsized from a regular home to a pretty big condo, but still a lot less space. And now we're in even a much smaller space than that. So there's a physical downsizing that happens that, ironically, we have less space and less stuff that gives us more margin. You may recall the old book, Richard Svensson, book called Margin, right? It's probably on my shelf right back there, one of the most significant books for me, in the top two there. And I believe it was him who made the observation that the more motors you have to keep running, every motor you have to keep running exponentially increases the complexity of your life.
That's right.
And so you know, for us, you know, where we're at right now in our life, I'm trying to think, you know, we've got our pickup truck and I don't have any electric motors, no snowmobiles, things like that. And that really simplifies your life. So, you know, the whole physical downsizing creates margin in itself, Tim.
Yeah. I think every time, if you have a real heart for people, sometimes you can almost get too committed to too many people all at the same time. And that may sound counterproductive to the ministry of the mission, but you have to make a fairly major investment in people's lives if you're going to make a commitment to walk with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at Jesus and his relationship with the disciples, he called the 12, but he had that inner circle of the guys he really spent more time with to the extent that maybe people saw him playing favorites with certain of the disciples, the inner circle. Yeah. But I think there's a principle there of you're supposed to have to, just like the ripple effect, the closer you are to the center, obviously your family needs to dictate primary relational investment of time. And the younger the kid, sometimes the more time, real quality time, you have to invest as well. Mm. You're never wasting time there, but you have to realize and then build that in. I know I've got 6 grandkids, and sometimes, when Heather, my wife, says, okay, now let's spend this time here, immediately, sort of on the unconscious level, I'm weighing in my life, okay, is that a good use of my time? Which is a stupid question to ask, because of course it's a great use of my time when I'm spending time with my kids and grandkids. But you see how we're driven to want to be productive based on outcome rather than the investment of time in people's lives.
Mm. Yeah.
So go ahead. Are you going to add to that?
That's so true. I know we're fighting, for the sake of our listeners, we're fighting a delay today in our recording, so we might overtalk each other a little bit. But yeah, prioritizing people from a disciple-making standpoint, we can only actively be involved in the lives of so many people.
That's right.
And if we add a certain, layer two of people we're sort of involved with, that starts to squeeze out the people we're supposed to spend more time with. Yeah. And so there is this very difficult, from a pastoral, shepherding, even Christian standpoint, the issue of saying no, or limiting our time with people. And, we know from Scripture, Jesus often withdrew. He took his disciples with him. He didn't heal every single person in Israel and the Middle East and the whole world when he's on the planet. That there were some limitations there. He knew what he was called to do, and he did it. Reading the Gospels through the lens of what was Jesus trying to accomplish is pretty clear. He said no. He kind of brushed off a lot of things to accomplish his purpose. And so for us, given that we have limited time, and I would say, increasingly, I'm discovering this thing called limited energy, that it's not just about time, it's about energy, that there's a finite amount. And it's got to be invested as wisely as we'd invest any money in any kind of retirement fund.
Yeah. So someone said, you're wise if rather than managing your time, you manage your energy, which means you have to do some introspection and see when you're at your best. For some people, that's first thing in the morning. Others, it's late at night. Others are good for an hour at lunch, and that's it. So I think understanding how your body clock works. So there's time when you have to perform. I call that grind time, when you just have to do stuff. And usually that's in the office where you're at home and you just have to get tasks done. That's probably not the best time to invest in other people, because you got your head down and you're just trying to produce. But I think we need to identify when it is prime time rather than the grind. What's our prime time when we're really good around other people? And then there's other time called unwind time where, you just can't keep going 24 hours a day, that you actually have to withdraw, especially for those who are introverts, where you have to let your emotional batteries recharge so that you can return to a format of prime time again. But it all has to be focused around relationships. That's people are the only things that are going to leave this planet in the next 100 years. And therefore, to be oriented around relationships has to be primary in terms of how we manage our energy.
Oh, yeah. Boy, a lot of things sparking off in my brain to see that, Tim, being more task-oriented than people-oriented. I've always found that, a lifelong challenge where tasks are easy to do. You can check off tasks. You can't check off people, right? Yeah. Working with people is open-ended, and that's the nature of relationship. One thing I did want to flag, you know, to make sure we get it out there is we talked a bit before recording about, you know, young families, you know, stay-at-home yeah. parents with preschoolers, that kind of thing. How, you know, if you think about a situation with limited margin and flexibility and options, that's often it. Just because of the sheer demands of the child or the children, throw in a little bit of sickness and runny noses and some other things in there. And life is full from dawn till dusk and beyond. Very right. easily. And a lot of times people who are passionate followers of Jesus, they feel a little bit of guilt, even just about things as simple as reading the Bible and praying, much yep. less living a life on mission and reaching out to their neighbors. And I just want to state very clearly that in that context, A, it's a season of life. This too shall pass more quickly than you yep. ultimately want it to. You actually long for those days sometime eventually in the future. But at the same time, that is your primary mission. That sphere of influence you have there in that time and space is your mission. And you don't, you may not have time or energy for anything else. And I would say that's okay. And I just want to say that as clearly as I can. That may be all you have time and space for, but discipling a child or children is one of the highest leverage things any of us can ever do as parents.
Yeah. And I would reiterate what Darren just said. One of your highest callings, because children grow up quite quickly, you know, especially now when we reflect on the next generation of my kids, that sometimes instead of wanting to come over and visit grandpa, they're playing with their friends now. And that opportunity is lost and you have to almost fight for their attention again. You know, the first 2 years of a child's life, a parent is the one who appears to be like God to them. Mm-hmm. And therefore, sticking them in front of a TV, sometimes is necessary, but just to have quality time with your little ones like that. Mm-hmm. And then, as we've said before, you know, teaching them to talk and walk is part of the physical reality, but also modeling a behavior in which you're talking and teaching them how to speak to God, singing bedtime songs, or just having, if you're in the car, there's some excellent little CDs. One of our granddaughters lives a few hours away now, so we gave Ellie some CDs to play in the vehicle when they're driving around. Mm. And when we do see her, there's evidence there that she's learning the songs. And that's one way we can make investments. And for grandparents who live far away, you know, the gift of FaceTime, you can be pretty active in the life of kids and grandkids, even if it's for a short period, but it's planned and just face recognition and reminding your kids and grandkids, not only that you love them, but God loves them and you bless them as well. It's just a practical strategy that you cannot ignore during those really demanding early years of life and family life as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is obviously multiple topics spiraling off of this, Tim, but, you know, around the core topic here of just the busyness of life and living on mission, I really hope people take a couple things. Number one, what we've just been talking about, the freedom to pour into your family from a disciple-making standpoint, that is a seasonal thing. And then also just a challenge to live with margin, to shed some things in life that, just as we say, by saying yes to some people, we're saying no to others. Yeah. By saying yes to some things, we're saying no to others. And there are some things in our lives that maybe are good. They're not evil. You know, Hebrews says, throw off sin and everything that entangles. You know, there's things that entangle that might not be sin. And I think that's an area of self-examination for each person. Are there things you need to just jettison from your life, so you have more margins, so you're not running frazzled, and that you actually have some room to think and pray about the marginal places of your life? So those two things. I don't want false guilt on that with especially young parents with young kids. At the same time, a challenge for people to examine their lives for things they can get rid of to create margin.
Yeah, and I think a couple of words for me. The one is intentionality. I know if you don't plan your life just happens and you just get swept up and overwhelmed with the complexity and all the voices and the internet and the telephone and the cells and the text that are continually binging off in your you lose control. So you have to be in control with the Lord's help, obviously, but be intentional. And the second thing is, just realize that the whole principle of common ground, that you're going to meet a lot of people, whatever season of life you're in, who are going through the same thing. And you can be friends with people and receive support. And in that, the Lord uses you in relationships, wherever it might be. Even in those busy early years that you just hang out with a couple other moms with tots from the neighborhood. That becomes your mission field, just through living life with others and living life that basically honors the Lord Jesus in what you do. So that's what I had on my list there.
Oh, that's awesome, Tim. You know, you just again hinted at something that I just want to maybe land with, that sometimes it's over a course of years that sometimes we feel in too much of a rush in both our evangelism and our disciple making. And just this last Sunday, I had an unbelieving friend and his wife drop into church where I was preaching because they couldn't believe I was preaching on adultery. They were saying, "What in the world could you possibly say about that? Besides, don't do it." Well, this couple, I did a major hike with him and his boys a decade ago, 10 years ago this summer. Wow. They've been on my prayer list for years. Out of the blue, we'd gone our separate directions and moves. They moved into our community where we are right now, after, you know, not seeing them for quite a few years, spent some time, and they just moved out. They actually came to church and flew out of town the next day to move.
Wow.
And so, you know, we've had these contact points for over a decade now. I did some work for them online years before that, and a matter of prayer. And, you know, here they are. They showed up in church. They heard the gospel. Obviously, there's the gospel in there. Despite the topic, the gospel showed up. And it just takes some time. And, you know, speaking directly to our topic, during their move, we were checking out their house while they were away. We helped them with the cleanup and just made some time to invest in them, not as projects, but because we're friends. And that's just kind of how life happens. And that's what I think both evangelism and disciple making looks like. It's living life with people and being there and praying for them and having that sense that we are on mission no matter what we're doing. That's and I think really all I have to say about that.
Well, that's good. So let me land the plane as we come to the end of this episode. You know, God has called us, first of all, into relationship with himself because of the love of Jesus. And that's where everything else flows out of it. That's central. We're obedient, and by being obedient to Jesus, we honor him. And then he brings other people into our life. And it isn't our role to win them. The Holy Spirit is always active. He just calls us to be genuine and to be friends with people. Yeah. And so if we can take the pressure off another agenda, just be true followers of Jesus and true friends with others. And then it's amazing what you see as you reflect how God uses those relationships for himself and for his glory and to just fulfill the calling that is on our lives. So if you're listening to this today and you're bombing down the highway or you're trying to hold a whole bunch of things together and you just stumbled upon this podcast, maybe God's just telling you to put the pause button on your life for a little bit. Just find that inner equilibrium to become centered in him again. And sometimes it is a matter of repenting and confessing that, oh, here I am again. And I said I would never be here again, but here I am. And to realize that God wants to leave you, give you a full life, not full of problems and headaches, but a full, pleasurable experience with him in the midst of all the busyness of the experience that we call life together. So I'm Tim Beadle with my friend Darren. Any final words here, Darren, as we close off?
That was an excellent landing of the plane, Tim. Thanks for joining us, folks. We look forward to continue to grow and explore what it means to be disciples who make disciples. On behalf of Tim and myself, have an excellent day.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. For more information, go to imakedisciples.com or christfollowerdna.com. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.